the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, in course and for me.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, save him.
Almighty and merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep from us all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went into Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down on that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread it abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, I call upon you, listen to me. Give ear to my voice when I call you.
Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehoods, let each one of you speak the truth of his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with one another one in need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. and he rose and went home. When the crowds saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The one who heals the paralytic is the one Jacob dreamt about. The Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promised seed through whom all the families of the earth are blessed, the ladder between heaven and earth upon whom the angels of God descend and ascend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He assures Jacob in his dream that he will not leave him until he has done what he has promised him, and we witness him being true to his promise today in both forgiving the sins of the paralytic and in healing him from his physical affliction so that he might rise and walk. But there is an order to Jesus fulfilling his promise to save sinners. That's why he came, to save sinners. Not merely to heal people from their physical afflictions. What would it profit a sinner to be restored to bodily health if his sins remained and he forfeit his soul? As Jesus says on other occasions, it is better to enter the kingdom of heaven as a paralytic or a blind, deaf or mute man or without one eye or arm or any other physical ailment than to go to hell bodily whole. So it really should not surprise us that Jesus says first to the paralytic, "Have courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven." That is really the only thing that matters. Jesus forgives his sins, and where there is forgiveness of sin, there is life and salvation, as we confess in the Small Catechism. This life, dear friends, is not all there is, and thank God for that. When Jesus forgives the paralytic's sins, he is saying to him, "You will live forever in my kingdom. I have come to save you and give you the life that never ends." You simply cannot, dear friends, receive anything better than the forgiveness of sins from the one who is the author of life in the flesh, the one through whom all things were made, as we just confessed. We're not told what the reaction of the paralytic and his friends was to Jesus initially saying, "Your sins are forgiven." But I think it's probably safe to assume that they were probably a bit disappointed by this. The paralytic's friends carried this man on his mat all the way to Jesus in the hope and expectation that Jesus would heal him from his paralysis. So hearing Jesus tell him initially that his sins are forgiven was probably a bit of a letdown. Of course, I'm just speculating here. It's possible that they weren't disappointed at all, but rejoiced in hearing Jesus forgive the paralytic sins, maybe. But I think the safer assumption, since we're not told how they reacted, is that they were disappointed. After all, is this not true of us to this day? Would we not rather have our physical ailments and the physical ailments of our friends and loved ones healed than to hear our Lord say that our and their sin is forgiven? Isn't this why stadiums are packed for the revivals and crusades of TV preachers who claim to miraculously heal people, even though it's all a show and a hoax, and churches where the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed have many empty pews? Let's just be honest. We often take the forgiveness of sins for granted and hear those words as simple niceties rather than the sin-redeeming, life-giving words that they are. Whatever the initial reaction of the paralytic and his friends, we do know how the scribes reacted to Jesus forgiving the sins of the paralytic. They mumbled to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." They do this because they do not recognize Jesus for who he is. They think he's just a man, and if he is just a man, then he really is blaspheming, for only God can forgive sin. Jesus stands before them in the same flesh and blood as they have. He does not appear to be anything other than an ordinary man, but he is something other. He is the God-man, Yahweh himself in the flesh, the same Yahweh who appeared to Jacob in that dream. His very name, Jesus, identifies who he is. Yahweh saves. Jesus accuses them of thinking evil in their hearts because they don't recognize him for who he really is. And it remains evil to this day to make Jesus into something of your own imagination instead of the incarnate God come down from heaven in our flesh to save us, to forgive us, and to give us life and salvation. Then comes the question. It's a great question. Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? The expected answer is that it is easier to say your sins are forgiven. After all, these are just words. Unless one is rendered mute for some reason and unable to speak, anyone can say those words. Anyone can say out loud to anyone else, your sins are forgiven. But not anyone can heal a paralyzed man so that he is able to pick up his mat and walk and go home. If a paralyzed man was laid at your feet, dear friends, every one of you could say to that man, your sins are forgiven. But not a single one of you could heal that man simply by telling him to pick up his mat and go home. And so on the surface, this appears to be a no-brainer. It is definitely easier to say your sins are forgiven. But it's not. Not for Jesus. It is far easier for him to say, rise and pick up your mat and go home, than to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. Rise and walk is really easy for the one through whom all things were made. He is the eternal Word of God, who need only say the words, rise and walk, to heal the paralytic. Rise and walk is no sweat at all for Jesus. But your sins are forgiven is not easy for him at all. For Jesus, these are not mere words, for he already knows full well what he must suffer to win that paralytic man's forgiveness. When Jesus says to him, your sins are forgiven, he is saying, I will be placed in chains for you. I will be severely flogged for you. I will be mocked and ridiculed, spit upon and smacked around for you. I will be smitten, stricken, and afflicted for you. I will have nails driven through my hands and my feet for you. I will suffocate to death on a cross for you. I will shed my blood for all your sins, indeed for the sins of all people of all time for you. I will take all of your punishment, all of the wrath of God that you deserve upon myself. I will suffer hell eternally in your place, that I might say to you, your sins are forgiven. Which is easier for Jesus? Rise and walk. No sweat. Your sins are forgiven. Caused him bloody sweat in the garden as he prepared for his passion. Nevertheless, so that they may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus also does the easier thing, saying to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And when the paralytic rose and went home, the reaction of the crowds who witnessed this was like Jacob's reaction after dreaming of the ladder that night long ago. They were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. In other words, they were afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the very gate of heaven. For here they witnessed heaven descending into their midst in the person of Jesus, who has authority to forgive sins, proven by his healing of the paralytic." Dear friends in Christ, have courage. You are dear children of God, and your sins are forgiven. Rejoice in those words, for when you hear your pastor say those words to you, they are as certain in heaven as they are on earth. The forgiveness of sins is the charter of Christ's church, the very reason for her existence. Jesus calls and ordains men for one purpose: to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name, in his stead, and by his command. That's the whole point. Nothing else really matters. With the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. The healing of the paralytic is a picture of the resurrection of all flesh on the last day, when all who have received the forgiveness of their sins through Christ will be raised in perfectly healed, glorified, eternal bodies to dwell with him, body and spirit, in his kingdom, which has no end. Until that day, the Holy Spirit continues to lead you sinners here to where Jesus is to forgive your sins. Surely the Lord is in this place, for he promises to be present wherever two or three or more are gathered in his name for divine service. And he promises to be with us always. He fulfills that promise here in his holy church, which is none other than the house of God and the very gate of heaven. For here, behold, I tell you a mystery. The angels of God descend with their Lord Jesus to sing praises with you to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here at the holy altar, do you see what Jacob saw? What old Saint Simeon beheld in his arms? What the crowds witnessed that day when the paralytic was forgiven and healed? For you see your salvation, Jesus Christ your Lord, come down from heaven to give you his very body and blood to eat and to drink for what? For the forgiveness of your sins. And with that forgiveness, as you eat and drink his very body and blood, his very life is poured into you, and eternal salvation is yours. Here at the holy altar, do you put off your old self and put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness? And here you are joined together in a communion that you cannot even fathom this side of heaven, but in God's sight is a bond that can never be broken. For you are joined together not only in yourselves as a family, but in Christ Jesus himself. Do not take this for granted. Repent of all the times that you do. Do not wish for something more or be disappointed in what takes place here in the house of God. Instead, open your eyes of faith and see. Pray with David in the offertory that we sing in just a couple seconds. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then later with Saint Simeon in the Nunc Dimittis, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." There is nothing better in all the world than the forgiveness of sins. And there is no place in all the world where that forgiveness is given to you tangibly, concretely, and even physically than right here in the house of God, the very gate of heaven, where Jesus descends in his body to be one with you. Have courage, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Your sins are forgiven, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Come, eat, drink. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Let us pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son, Jesus, who has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Grant that we may always rejoice to receive this forgiveness in your holy church through your absolution and your sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Keep us faithful in receiving your gifts, that by your grace we may cling to you in faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, our Savior, sent forth his church to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news of salvation in him. Give us willing hearts to support the preaching of your word in our congregation and throughout the world, that we may give cheerfully and generously of the provisions you have provided us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you blessed Jacob with offspring as numerous as the dust of the earth, through the coming of the promised seed, your Son, Jesus. Give comfort to those in our midst who long for children but are unable to conceive. May they find in the church a family to love and cherish. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you rescued us from our fallen condition and adopted us as your own children. Guide those who are seeking to adopt children of their own, that they may be a model of your love. Give them patience and endurance as they work through the adoption process, and place children in need into loving homes with faithful parents, that they may be baptized in your name and taught the truth of your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, you have given to man the breath of life. Provide your ongoing care to those who are unable to leave their homes and to those who are nearing death. Give them consolation, that they may know you are with them as they await the hour when they will be raised to a glorious life with you in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, by his authority on earth, your Son made the lame to walk. Restore all who are ill, injured, in need of treatment, or who suffer in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Bob Wendt, Corrine Ellenbos, Tom Ellenbos, Scott McCollum, Landon Cole, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiten, Maxine Cull, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Pastor David Bone, Sally Messer, Chris Woodrow, Marion Soul, Cameron Snow, John Lumberman, Brandy Bradley, Jane Tennant, Kimberly Tolk, Katie Jaglet, John Myers, and Cheryl Myers. Grant them swift recovery, that they may rejoice in you as the source of all healing of both body and soul. And be with the families of those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, especially the family of Phyllis Ennis, Barb Humphrey's mother, whom you call home this week, that they might be comforted in the sure and certain knowledge of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Bountiful Lord, you have prepared a feast for us in which you have given us the forgiveness of all our sins. Help us to put away all falsehood and be reconciled with one another, that through this holy communal meal we may be renewed in your spirit, putting on the new self created after your likeness in true righteousness and holiness, as we eat and drink the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Join our prayers and praises to those of your faithful people of every time and every place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, until he comes again as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you. The very body of Christ, you are free. The very body of Christ, the very body of Christ, you are free. May the Lord bless and keep you in the baptism of Christ all the days of your life. The very body of Christ, you are free.
Precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks unto the Lord.
thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you. Somebody's got to keep an eye on you.